We have Representative Davidson and myself, Representative Gruenberg. We have several bills on the calendar today. House Bill 436, an act relating to historic, prehistoric, and archaeological resources. House Bill 416, an act relating to purchases or possession of tobacco by a minor. And House Bill 309, the Landlord-Tenant Act. We're going to take it up in that order. And we'll be taking up this afternoon from 4:30 to 5, House Bill 432, the Fin Fish Farming Bill. The hearing on House Bill 327 will not be held today. We have a teleconference here, and the first bill we have is House Bill 436, the legislation dealing with historic, prehistoric, and archaeological resources. We have the prime sponsor of the bill, Representative Davidson, and a number of people online. Representative.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I certainly appreciate your scheduling House Bill 436 before the committee today. I introduced this legislation to address the problems that the Alaska Native community has had with repatriation of their ancestral human remains. Many of you are probably aware of the considerable controversy this practice has generated within the Native community and among Alaskans generally. Currently, Alaskan statutes do not give clear direction on how human remains should be handled. It is my hope, Mr. Chairman, that this legislation will speak to the concerns of all interested parties while bearing in mind that human remains are not possessions. This bill has been discussed in a working group of interested parties and the House Resources Committee. It continues to be refined. Before you today is a draft committee substitute I am offering as the sponsor to further clarify the concern. But there is an error in this draft substitute. It appears, Mr. Chairman, the bill drafted did not understand my request for change to Section 11A. What I had requested was for the public to have 120 days from the date of the third public notice to contact the Department of Natural Resources. The bill drafter mistakenly incorporated no deadline for contact to the department, but a 120-day deadline to the department to prepare the written report that is there. They are directed to prepare in subsection B. You can refer to page 8, line 19 and 20 on the draft substitute. I would like this subsection to be corrected. Mr. Chairman, there are many people here today, and there are a lot of people, I think, who would like to speak on the teleconference, so I would like to defer to them at this time. And again, thank you very much for scheduling this bill.
You're very welcome, Representative Davidson, Representative Paul.
Thanks. Before you get started with testimony, could you just give me the page and line again on the changes?
Page 8, lines 19 and 20.
And what language would you like on that? What's the new language that you prefer, Representative? By the way, we've been joined by Representative Paul.
What I would like to see happen is for a 120-day allowed after the third public notice in the newspaper. So I don't have specific language at this point, but maybe I could have staff work something out.
Fine. Why don't you have staff do that? And we have now a quorum of the committee. Representative Ellis has joined us.
Okay.
Mr.
Chairman,
I'd like to get an explanation. It seems that it seems that may already have been handled in the CS. Just take 1 second to get that clarified.
Representative Davidson.
Well, it says, well, we're talking here about the deadline to the department, right?
Mr. Chairman?
No. We will be getting to the sites online in order, please. Representative Davidson. Maybe I'd ask the two representatives to confer off the record. Representative Davidson, why don't you flip your toggle switch down there? Let's start with some testimony here. We have people to testify on this here in Juneau, in Anchorage, in Fairbanks, in Kodiak, and in Sitka. And then we also have a number of people to testify on other bills here. And it's going to be difficult for us to get to everybody, so I'm going to ask people, please, to limit their comments to 3 minutes or less. If you support the legislation, if you can just very briefly indicate you do that, and we'll get your name on the record and your position. If you have technical amendments or suggestions for these bills, please let us know, but it will not be necessary to take really extended testimony from the people. Anybody individually? Representative Gall, you have a question?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I guess then what I was just trying to get a sense of what the progress of the bill would be, and it looks like we have some technical work to do. We're not going to be able to move it today, so I just wanted to announce that I'll be calendaring it for a second and hopefully final hearing for early next week, and my staff will work with yours and Mr. Davidson's to deal with the technical amendments. I'd like to specifically request that if the sponsor, yourself, members, or witnesses have any specific technical changes they want in the bill, that they make those clear today, and then we're going to bring those before the committee next time and act on them. So thank you very much for your help.
Certainly. Okay. Let us start first with Kodiak. Is there anyone in Kodiak to testify on this bill? House Bill 436.
Tribal Historic Information Officer.
Please go ahead, Mr. Knack.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to first say that I strongly support an ethical approach dealing with human remains. I have a couple quick remarks on some of the technical aspects of the bill. On page 7, line 14 and 15, to tribe's plan for disposition of human remains or objects to be submitted to the department. And I wonder what conditions that implies to return of remains to those tribes. Does that mean that the department has to set certain conditions on that?
Now, you are referring to the committee substitute, Mr. Knecht? To the draft committee substitute or to the original bill?
I'm referring to the work draft I have in front of me.
Okay, you're referring to the work draft. Is there anyone who can answer Mr. Knecht's question as to the condition of the remains? Representative Davidson's staff, would you please come to the table and identify yourself. Your question will be answered here momentarily. Please flip on the toggle switch and give us your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Stephanie Love. I'm staff to Representative Davidson. Our intent in this language to just have something in place by the tribal groups or that are receiving remains and funerary objects to just have something in writing so there is a plan obviously in place, but no specific direction.
Mr. Knecht, does that answer your question, sir?
I have a certain sense.
Okay, any further testimony? Yeah, if not, thank you very much. Is there anyone else in Kodiak who desires to testify on this bill?
Mr. Chairman, he's not quite finished. Could you please stand by?
Certainly. Go right ahead, Mr. Knecht.
Okay, just very briefly, on page 8, lines 18 and 19 about notice in 3 newspapers of general circulation, I might request or suggest rather that you also notify native corporations in addition to putting ads in the paper.
Thank you. Anything further?
Yes, on page 9 on lines 18 and 19, the 120-day limit, I wonder if that would invalidate any future claims by natives or other groups about human remains and funerary objects.
Would you care to answer that?
Once again, my name is Stephanie Love. At this time, it does appear that that would be the result.
Stephanie, let me just ask you about this now. Are you saying that there is, I'm just reviewing the bill for the first time. Are you saying that there's nothing in the bill that speaks to the issue of whether or not after the 120 days, the possession taken by the department would account to or amount to ownership, or is it just that they would hold it, or is that matter really not addressed in the bill and something that needs to be determined?
Ms. Love?
I would think that you could address that at this time.
Thank you.
Mr. Knecht, does that answer your questions?
Yes, it does, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next place we will go will be to Anchorage, and then from there we will go to Sitka, and then from there we will go to Fairbanks, we will take one person in each site and then come to Juneau, and we'll go back around at that point. Is there anyone in Anchorage to testify on this bill?
This is Judy Bittner.
Yes, Ms. Bittner, please go ahead.
Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Judy Bittner. I'm the State Historic Preservation Officer with the Department of Natural Resources. We've been working with Representative Davis's office on the various work committees and drafts on this bill. Department of Natural Resources is interested in amendments to the Alaska Historic Preservation Act to address and clarify the state's position and policy on dealing with human remains. We have submitted comments and worked with his staff on each of these versions, and many of their comments have been incorporated. I have not had an opportunity to go in detail with the current draft, and will be submitting comments to Representative Davis and Representative Gall during the week while this is being considered.
Thank you, Ms. Bittner. Questions for Ms. Bittner? I'm sorry, were there other questions for Mr. Knecht? We didn't ask that. We've been joined by Representative Sherry Davis, who doesn't sit on the committee normally. She has a bill up, but we'd be delighted to have her on this bill, too. Okay. Next site, is there somebody in Fairbanks who'd like to testify on House Bill 436?
John in Anchorage. I'd like to testify.
Yes, we'll come back to Anchorage. We're going right around. Is somebody in Fairbanks next?
This is Dick Jordan, the Anthropology Department at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I just have a simple question, again, under Section 11, disposition of items already held. And will there be a financial appropriation for the Chabot's office and for the University Museum to be able to conduct the inventory work that's required here?
Ms. Love or Representative Davidson?
There is a fiscal note attached to this bill, $157,000 for this year.
And that's for whom?
It's directed to the Department of Natural Resources.
Fine. Does that answer your question, Mr. Jordan?
I guess this would be a question for Judy Bittner. Would some of these financial appropriation then be somehow worked out with the University Museum, because I know there's a large inventory job to be done?
Ms. Bittner, could you hear that question?
Yes, I did. This is Judy Bittner. There were some provisions for some contractual services that would be incorporated for mostly study and storage of the remains that may come to the department, but not, as far as I know, for the university itself to do its inventory.
Mr. Chorty, does that answer your question?
Yes, that does. I'm very sorry that Jim Dixon, who's the curator for archaeology, is not here today. He's tied up with other matters, but I know he's deeply concerned about this, because the basic fact, as I read this, is that after 120 days, the university museum, if they couldn't do this work, would be in violation of state law, which would be a tremendous embarrassment, I would imagine.
As co-chairman Gall indicated a few minutes ago, the bill will be back up before us once again next week, and we would welcome the testimony at that time from him. Representative Gall has a question.
Thank you. Could you tell me the specific references in the bill regarding inventory that you're concerned about? I mean, what page and why?
It's in Section 11.
Section 11.
And top of page 9.
Representative Gall.
I'm sorry, could you be a little more specific exactly where are you referring to?
Could I?
Page 8, line 21. Well, I see that it says the department shall prepare an abstract containing indexed information. I don't see any reference to to university or museum inventories or anything of that sort. Maybe you could clarify for me.
I'm a bit confused. It seems to me that the skeletal material, which there's some skeletal material already being held by the university museum. I don't know whether this is all held for the department or not, but in any case, I would assume that as it is, is this bill eliminate the university museum for consideration? Maybe that's the question I should be asking.
Okay, sir. My reading here is that the bill doesn't eliminate anything from anyone, nor does it require the university to take specific action. What it does require, at least the section that you've referenced, is that the Department of Natural Resources shall prepare an abstract containing indexed information related to... Oh, I see. So you're going up higher. Let me just read this before I respond. Just a moment, please.
May I clarify something?
Ms. Wall.
No, excuse me. I don't want anything to clarify. Sir, are you saying that you have a lot of remains that you have no knowledge of what you have, and that in order to tell the department what you have, you're going to need additional funds?
I can't speak directly on specifics for Jim Dixon, who's the curator at the University Museum, but I know there are something on the order of maybe 200 or so human skeletal remains, which are currently deposited at the University Museum. Dixon tells me that additional work will need to be done in order to pull together all the records and documentations associated with each one of these human skeletons.
Okay, I see. And what I don't see, though, is the need for you to do any work other than count what you have and report it. It says here that a person who possesses human remains, and I guess that would include the museum, needs to notify the department of the nature and location of the remains and objects. It would seem to me that for purposes of being a curator, the type of analysis you do would be very exhausting, but for purposes of Department of Natural Resources inventory, I think what they're saying is, 15 or 215 skulls or whatever, believed, or if you don't know where they're from, you don't know, and if you do, you do, and here's where they're located, and that sort of seems like a couple of days clerical work. I'm not sure I understand the need for an appropriation, but I'd appreciate it if you'd consider that and get the analysis that you referenced from the curator so that we can understand if this is a serious problem or part of a larger problem, which is the need for inventory funding for university collections, which I certainly agree is needed, but I don't think it seems to be needed as a result of this bill, and I'd appreciate it if you'd clarify that and get back to us at the next hearing or have your designee do so.
Thank you very much. I will.
Thank you. Any other comments by Mr. Chotny or any questions to him? The record should also reflect that we'd welcome Representative Terry Martin, who's a member of the committee also. Okay, next we're going to rotate to Sitka. Is there anyone in Sitka to testify on House Bill 436?
Yes, this is Terry Pegues. I'm a tribal planner for the Sitka Community Association, which is tribal government for Sitka. We would like to express our support of the bill and our thanks to those who worked it up and introduced it. We have a couple of comments or questions, and we'll be as brief as we can with those. I'm working off the April 4 draft. On page 6, starting on line 20, we just wonder, does the Department of Natural Resources now maintain the capability of determining to what tribe or tribal group or individual families human remains and funerary objects belong? And if they do not have that capability, are they going to develop it? Because it seems like that's required of them. That's our first question.
Ms. Bittner, can you answer that question?
Yeah, this is Judy Bittner, and that is part of the fiscal note, is to either hire or contract for expertise to study the skeletal remains to help make that determination. Sometimes that determination or that information will come from the source of origin, if it comes from the university, if they have that within their field notes or their study, that will already come with us. For those that are undefined, we will have to try to do that ourselves.
Please continue, Mr. Please.
As usual, Judy, you're right off target. Our second question had to do with on page 8, disposition of items already held, section 11, down on line, the requirement, other requirement, the notice will be given to a tribe, but there's no explanation past that what a tribe does with that information.
I'd ask maybe either Representative Davidson or Ms. Love to answer that, or Ms. Bittner. We don't know what page in line you're talking about, Mr. Pegues.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm working without my glasses. I may be on the wrong. line. Maybe I'm reading off the wrong draft. We thought that in section 11, in part A, there was a re. Oh, I'm sorry. Got to back up. It's in the treatment of remains discovered by a private person, and that's in a previous section. And as we read it, we thought that there was a requirement that the individual county or tribal governments be notified, or tribal governing bodies be notified, but there was nothing after that as to what happened vis-a-vis the tribal government or the individual parties and the remains.
Ms. Love, but before I call on her, I'd like to have the record reflect that Representative Mike Davis is also with us. Ms. Love?
Can I ask if you're speaking on page 4, line 17 through 21?
Mr. Pegues.
Yes, I am.
To my knowledge, what this section does is bring the existing statute into compliance with human remains. Currently, if a state historical site has been found on private land, it's noted, and any private person has to contact the Department of Natural Resources TIPO office, I believe, and tell them that they have intentions to do construction on that property. The language here refers to the private person also having to contact the tribal group if it's known that native human remains also are a part of that historical site. And there is no direction, I guess. I have to read it very quickly, but it's just to bring it into compliance. We may need to make some changes tonight.
Mr. Pegues, does that answer your question?
And our last comment is, it is a comment. It's on page 9, subpart C, on line, starting on line 5. We're concerned that all of the tribal groups get notified. We want to know who the state was going to use in the determination of who are the tribal groups or what are the tribal groups in the state. We recommend you use the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Gall? By the way, I'd like the record to reflect, unfortunately, is there anybody here for House Bill 309 besides Ms. Bain, for behalf of the prime sponsor? Unfortunately, we just won't get to you, I'm afraid. We've got many other people to testify. We'll hold that at some other point, though. Representative Gall.
Thank you. Could you clarify your comments here a little bit? Now, so the department is going to contact each tribe. And are you saying that where the department does not know which tribe to contact, that you wish to have them communicate with BIA to make that determination?
Representative Gull, is Terry Pegues again. With my 15 years of working for the state, I never did run into a state agency that knew all the tribes were. The tribes are designated by the Secretary of the Interior, and his cognizant agency, of course, is the Bureau of Indian Affairs. So our recommendation is that the state go to the Bureau of Indian Affairs to find out exactly who those organizations are, what those organizations are. They have them by name and address.
Yes, sir, but forgive me for asking the same question again, but every once in a while, state employees do know those answers, and sometimes they find out because something is discovered in the village of Kassam, and the people of Kassam, let's say, are concerned about it, and there isn't really a question about whose they are. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume what you're saying is when in doubt, contact the BIA. Or, in fact, are you saying that the state should not make any determinations at all and that those determinations should be deferred to the federal government? Maybe you'd help me clarify. I'm just looking for language here. It seems that if they know for certain where it's from, then they don't really need to contact somebody. But maybe you're saying that even when they think they know, they don't. I need to get a little bit more from you.
Representative Gall and Karen McGee, may I make a...
Confused my two comments. What I'm saying, what we're suggesting is that the one place where you do get a complete identification of all the tribes in Alaska is at the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And that tribal list is published yearly in the Federal Register. And the tribal operations people at the BIA, Frankie Pradovich, he can tell you in 10 minutes who all the tribes are, he can get you a list. As far as the second half of your question goes, no, we're not saying go to the BIA or anybody else. We think that the department has the ability to make those determinations, and with people like Ms. Bittner running the show up there, we have great confidence that they'll do that.
Thank you very much.
Representative Gall, this is Judy Bittner.
Yes, Ms. Bittner.
We have the list. We do use and have the BIA tribal list.
Fine. If you can contact Mr. Pegues, just talk to him on the telephone. I'm sure you can answer his question. I'm not trying to rush people along, but I really am. Otherwise, we'll never hear everybody. And we will be dealing with this bill. Representative Martin has a question for Mr. Pegues in Sitka.
Yes, thank you. My question is in reference to page 6, line 20. And then also in conjunction with that, page 1, lines 21, 2, and 3. And I'm wondering here, when we say a person who discovered a funerary object shall promptly report it, I'm assuming that means report it to the Department of Natural Resources. And I'm thinking of construction jobs or just the average citizen who may be out hiking and digging around, and he or she may not know, number one, the law. Number two, what a funerary object is from a just artifacts. And so if we can have an explanation there, then maybe that all citizens, if this means then, will construct some people. And is that related to page 1?
Ms. Love.
Thank you. Funerary objects are defined in the definition as being items that are found and directly associated with human remains. And so the funerary objects that are being spoken about, what you're talking about, are those funerary objects that are being held by museums or someplace, a person that can be directly related to human remains.
If you look in the bill, Representative, at page 5, lines 6 through 11, you'll see the definition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it there, but it was not clear here, because we also...
But you're on teleconference.
Yeah. I see it there, but we also split those words, human remains and funerary objects. So at what time does it mean human objects, or what time does it mean other objects? That's, and also the person who discovered it, surely when you're having your archaeological discoveries and outings and museum outings, fine. But what about the average citizen? Are they covered here?
Yes. Ms. Love.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Other questions for Mr. Pegues?
I hate to be dumb and all, but yes. How are we going to know that by the average citizen, even a tourist, who's out there hiking, who comes to call for discovery?
I think this is probably more correctly directed at Ms. Love.
Well,
who or Representative
can answer
Davis.
It's so broad, I'm wondering who may be suddenly fined and sued and held up without even knowing it.
Mr. Pegues, you wanted to say something?
Well, I've lived in this country 58 and a half years now, and time and on a few occasions I have bumped into or stumbled into what were obviously the remains in my part of the country was the Tlingit people, and I was lucky enough to be taught when I was really enough to be taught that you respect those folks and you leave their things alone. And the fact of the matter is, it's hard not to tell what a funerary object is, seems to me. If you find a skull, some bones, or some bones, and there are artifacts by it, or in in the place that you find them. Obviously, they're there because somebody put them there. If you put a rose on your on someone's chest when you bury them, that rose is still going to be there when you if you disinter them. And it didn't grow there. It just I don't think that question is all that hard to answer. If there are things that are not of Western manufacture and not recent, they ought to be regarded as being put there with the remains.
Ms. Love, otherwise we can pass on. Ms. Love, is there anything you need to say? We've got a lot of people to hear.
Our intention to, the funerary objects that are directed to in this bill are those funerary objects that are found with human remains. And so the drafter has chosen to separate it like this for those cases where, and by defining them in the bill as being direct circumstantial evidence, expert opinion, documentation, they're, in my mind, as I understood it, the funerary objects were those objects found with remains. So the drafter just chose to separate it.
Thank you very much. Representative Martin, does that answer your question, sir?
No, but I hate to appear so stupid, but I did go along the Yukon River one time for about 2 weeks, and we did find objects. Some I kept, some I left. And I didn't know if I broke the law or not.
You did.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Pegues. Next, we're going to take somebody here in Juneau. The first person is Roxanna Adams. Ms. Adams. And then we're going to go back, if there's anybody in Kodiak, then we'll go back to Anchorage. We're going right around the state. Ms. Adams. And we're running behind, so we'll stay as long as we possibly can this afternoon. I don't know what time we lose the bridge, but if you can be as concise as possible, we'd be very grateful, everybody.
Thank you, Representative Greenberg. My name is Roxanna Adams, and I represent Museums Alaska, which is the museum association with about a membership of 40 institutions and a good number of individuals, both paid and volunteer, who work in museums around the state. With Museums Alaska and the Advocacy Committee in particular has reviewed this bill and followed its progress, as much information as we could get through up to this hearing today. We endorse the aspects of the bill that deal with human remains because this is not a gray area. Everybody can define what human remains mean, and that part is probably logical to enforce. There's an assumption, however, in this legislation that there is an adversarial relationship that exists between museums and Native people or museums and organized Native groups. And I would like to take exception to that with a few outstanding examples of cooperation. And also to let you know that museums prior to this bill have taken their own steps for self-enforcement for which they should be commended. For example, many museums have in their policies that they will not accept unscientifically excavated archaeological material. So that in itself goes far beyond what this bill has done. Now, I cannot say that all museums do that, but it is a growing trend in museums to police themselves. And this bill does come after the fact of some of the good policies that we already have in place. And as some other examples, when museums or in museum projects come across human remains, such as in Barrow, they have been treated with respect and examined and then reinterred with great respect to the people. And just recently in Ketchikan, when we were excavating for a totem pole raising, the city crew came across human remains. We stopped excavating immediately, called together the affected tribe, which was the Tongass tribe, and gathered their consensus of opinion and proceeded on their direction. So precedent has been set in the state, not for the negative activities, but for the positive activities, and I think you should know this. The gray area that I see in this legislation deals with funerary objects, and I have to commend Representative Davidson's staff I've been working with over the last few days and then on the telephone before that for being understanding in some of the concerns that museums have. It's very hard to legislate a gray area, and the funerary objects, if it is kept in relation to specific human remains found at the site, I think we'll be able to live with that. The third thing I wanted to talk about...
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Representative Gall?
I need to ask about the second thing. Now, I'm reading the section of the bill on human remains and funerary objects, but I don't know just exactly what you're recommending. Could you be a little bit...
Well, in the sheet that says new sections recommended.
Do you have a copy of the actual bill? Why don't you take mine? Here's the section, and maybe you could tell us what it is. Here.
Well, it may save a little bit of time. Why don't you just refer to whatever you were?
I'm afraid we just won't get through.
Please just go right here.
The new section adds a committee substitute, makes it unlawful, et cetera, et cetera. For items that were directly associated with human remains, it said. We would like that to be even more specific and less gray and less ambiguous.
You're speaking of the definition of funerary?
Right. And say items that were directly associated with specific human remains rather than just human remains. So we're talking about specific incidents as they occur.
You mean as opposed to taking a type of object
right.
and saying that type of object tends to be associated and
that's
this way
true because there's just as we all are inconsistent in our activities and in what we may today view as funerary practices, that those kinds of inconsistencies existed, and it's very difficult to draw reasonable conclusions from individual practices.
Thank you. Go right ahead.
And the third thing is, when you have something into law, you need to be able to enable the institutions or the individuals that are being affected by this law to comply. And that has been discussed briefly before, but the compliance is something that was talked about by Dick Short in Fairbanks. Small museums around the state are very concerned that they will be not able to comply because they're not certain about what their holdings are, and there needs to be some education, there needs to be massive education, and we're not just talking about museums who have a better understanding than the average person of the implications of this bill, but of the average person, and some enabling funds, except besides those funds that are coming through the Department of Natural Resources, to enable the museums to comply, and possibly other groups affected by this legislation.
For Representative Gall, specifically, what requirements in the bill are you saying you'll have trouble complying with?
Well, you're dealing with, in the state of Alaska, a good number of museums that cannot tell their full-time permanent staff, which does not exist, to run in an inventory of their collections.
So. I guess I don't understand. If you have something in your possession, and you don't know what it is, then you're not even going to be able to have insurance. Are you saying that there are just sort of boxes of unlabeled things and no one knows whether they're skulls or tools?
It's very difficult for an unskilled museum worker to identify a deer bone from a human bone.
I guess if they think it's... Okay, I hear you. Thank you very much.
Further comments, Ms. Evans?
No, that's it. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Representative Martin.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the witness verified my concern on page 6, line 20, that even if people in the museum can't determine what is funerary objects, the average citizen who comes upon one and has to report it. I'd like the next sentence where it separates persons who human remains or funerary objects. But I think she verified my concern that the average citizen may not let you discover the bones first. That's one thing, but if you discover the object first, you don't know if there's nearby bones.
Okay, thank you. The word knowingly may be of assistance there. The next, I'd like to go back to Kodiak. Is there anybody else in Kodiak to testify on this particular bill, House Bill 436? If not, we will go next to Anchorage. And I'm going to take the people... I'm sorry, is there somebody in Kodiak else to testify on this bill?
Yes, this is Gary Aronson, the president of Kodiak Area Native Association, and I would just like, on behalf of our constituents and organization, to strongly express support for the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Aronson. Any questions for Mr. Aronson? I know Representative Davidson's grateful for your coming out, too. he's here. Okay, next we have in Anchorage, and I'm going to just go around all the various sites because we're going to lose our bridge here, our telephone line at 3 o'clock, and then we'll come back to Juneau for everybody. So I'd ask the people in Juneau to be their usual courteous and helpful selves. Okay, next, Anchorage.
Hello there. Yes, this is John Johnson. I'm the Cultural Resource Manager for the last 10 years at Chugach Alaska Corporation, Native Regional Corporation, Prince William Sound, Lotus McKinley. And I've just got a few brief comments, hopefully, and just the comments are related to a draft 32990. And just in our area, just for a little clarification, for religious significance, villages and all burials in villages, even if they're not known to the general population now, have religious significance to the Chugach people. And in our area, just about every village has a burial associated with it within the village itself. Another comment is, I was just curious on page 5, line 10 and 11, why they're now talking about skeletal, non-skeletal body parts such as hair, nails, and isolated teeth. I'd recommend dropping that whole section and just dropping excluding non-skeletal body parts shed during life, such as hair, nails, and isolated teeth. I'm not even sure why that's in there. And from the talking with the various elders, those type of body parts have a special taboo that you don't hang on to them or you don't just throw them away. They usually burn them or put them in a special place for better luck.
For the information of everybody here, that's now found page 5, lines 21 to 23. Ms. Love, would you care to comment?
Yes, thank you. That was included to address the concerns that the museums had, that they had pieces within their collections that had human hair, nails, teeth in them.
I guess what I was thinking of, for example, in the Southeast, where the shamans used to cut the hair and tie it in bundles for various things as part of a religious rite. If it was on a mask for something else, it might be less, but I was just thinking other aspects could probably be tied in with some type of religious ceremony, I think. Another comment I had was, it might be in there somewhere, that it's just a general comment that all human remains discovered shall be left undisturbed until consultation is done between the native group. But even if I can see problems with the construction project going through and a highway happens to be stopped, but I think they could just wait for a day or two and just work it out rather than pull them up and talk about it later. Another comment I have is on page 6, line 10. I think that's a great idea. The department shall notify the tribal group, and just to help on that as well, I think they at the same time, the closest tribal group, but also they should at the same time contact the Native Regional Corporation. Because sometimes the very small villages, a lot of people in the summertime will be out fishing, and a lot of people may not be so attentive to the mail coming in. And we have someone at Chugach myself that's on full time that can help coordinate a lot of this information. Another comment I have is notice should also be given to Alaska Federation of Natives for all unclaimed Native remains so that AFN will have the option to deal with these remains as they see fit. For example, if nobody can identify where they are, and I think an AFN or another statewide group should have the option to do what they think is best for it. Another one is page 7, line 21. Deals with the committee. I think in order to make this a workable committee and make it fair, I think we should have two Native representatives on this committee. Since there's one liaison from the state, which is Judy, and then the other is an archaeologist or physical anthropologist, I think that'd be a good a balance with two Native representatives and two from the scientific community. And then the fifth one is a person in general that doesn't fit with any of those groups. And I think that fifth person would be the person that kind of give a good balance to it, I think. And
Ms. Love, before...
Once this act is passed, I think they should, which is noted in the new one, that notice should be given in all the papers about this act. And I think it should be in a big bold print and summarize what the new laws are. And let's see, one last comment. And if possible, funding should be available help to the museum to help inventory, but also to the native groups that are going to have a vast amount of remains that they're going to have to deal with. I don't see a vast amount of money, but just a little bit of travel money to implement this whole project. And for example, in our area, I was just an idea that maybe could be working there. During all this study period, in our area, we have human remains that are temporarily stored at the Russian Orthodox Church in the town here prior to a study, and the native elders feel it's more respectable to have it in a place there under the care of a Russian Orthodox priest until, and they agree a study should be done with these remains that are, you know, that are pulled out like that, but if possible, have a workout agreement where the local group can have temporary storage in a place where everybody's comfortable. And I just wanted to say that I think this bill is great, and I think everyone's worked hard on it, and I think we're getting closer on it. I really support this bill a lot. Thank you.
Johnson, but I do have a question for the sponsor the sponsor's staff, and that is...
This is Representative Ball.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is, could you just speak...
On weekend.
You have an open mic on the teleconference line. Could you just speak to how you developed the composition of this group, or as briefly as possible, what your justification is for the way it's put together? I'm noticing on number two that one person from a tribe or three people from the family. If it's one person from the tribe, you end up with a four-person group, and if this is supposed to, do they have to decide unanimously, or are they going to vote? Do you want to have an odd number? Could you just speak a little bit to how this was put together this way?
Yes, thank you, Representative
Paul. Actually, the chairman reminds me about what we're going to run into here. We may end up cutting off witnesses, so could you just make note of that, and then if we have time at the end, or if not, when we get together after the meeting, clarify those points.
Thank you very much, Representative. I really do want to hear everybody who has come out to testify on this bill and the next bill. Okay, next we're going to go up to Fairbanks. Is there somebody in Fairbanks? And then we're going to go check with Sitka and Kodiak and Anchorage in that order until we get everybody online. Is there anybody in Fairbanks?
Yes, this is Will Mayo. I'm employed by the Tanana Chiefs Conference as the Director for Village Government Services. I'd like to thank the committee for their good work on this bill and for the staff that has been very helpful in sharing the information. I'd like to speak in favor of this bill. TCC is very impressed and favorable for this bill, and we think that it is a very positive move on the part of the legislature, the committee, the legislature, and many people in Alaska who are sensitive to these issues and to the dignity and the respect that is should be given to these human remains and the associated funerary objects. First of all, I just want to emphasize that this bill is badly needed. There are things going on that shouldn't be. That is not to point the finger at any specific group, because this crosses racial lines, and sometimes things are done not by folks who shouldn't be doing them from their own groups. And I think that protection of these human remains and objects is very important. This bill is very needed. And as far as institutions, I thank Ms. Adams for her testimony on the cooperation between the native groups and the museums in her area. This does not always occur. And the existence of institutional policies sometimes is simply not enough. For the future, I think that a law such as this one, this bill could become, is necessary for continued good treatment of these remains. This bill does address Native remains and associated funerary objects. TCC is also concerned about other historical artifacts and feels that there is very important and valuable Native cultural patrimony involved with those, but will not raise that as an issue in this bill. But for the record, we do not disregard or disregard the importance of other Native artifacts that are currently being bartered and sold and looted. Going on, all of the people who are involved in the movement of Native human remains or the storage or the whatever use they put them to selling or bartering, you know, whether or not they're Native, whether they're profiteers or if it's for scientific study, these people need to recognize the sanctity of the burial of the dead and respect the living people as well, whose remains are these ancestors. Going on, a specific recommendation or a comment on page 9 and line 17, TCC does not believe that any Native human remains should be withheld from reinterment. And if Native human remains are unclaimed, a method should be included in this bill that would provide some type of a respectable reinterment for those remains. And that could either be the state providing reinterment, or a statewide Native group, or even an agreeable Native tribe or group that may not necessarily be associated, but who would like to bring dignity and respect to the deceased and agree to rebury them. The point there is include some method for reinterment, even for unclaimed Native remains, or any remains for that matter. And then lastly, on page 6 and line 3, it talks about the definition of tribes there. I think that I would like to say that this definition is a good definition. Tanner Chief feels comfortable with it. I feel comfortable with it. It gives a very broad scope to Native people and organizations so that, as I stated earlier, no Native remains are left in undignified disinterment. So I'd like to thank the committee for the fine work. This is a good bill. I've looked at national legislation and legislation from other states on this issue, and Alaska has a bill here that they can be proud of. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayo. Questions for Mr. Mayo? If not, thank you very much. Is there anyone else who hasn't testified on House Bill 436 and would like to do so, or on the other bill, 416, since we're running out of time here, in Sitka? Okay. How about anybody else to testify on either bill in Kodiak? Okay. Back to Anchorage. Anyone else to testify on this bill in Anchorage?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
My name is Gordon Poehler. I would like to testify.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. My name is Gordon Poehler. I would like to speak in support of House Bill 436. I served for 6 years as the president of the Kodiak Area Native Association until last year, when I left that position to assume the responsibility of directing the development of a Native museum and cultural center in Kodiak for the organization. I also serve as chairman of the board of the Alaska Native Foundation and sit on the board of the Alaska Federation of Natives. I don't have specific language changes to offer. The language of House Bill 436 has been refined considerably since it was introduced earlier in this legislative session. The basic intent of the bill to protect unmarked native burials from needless and malicious destruction has, however, remained intact. While some of the initial reaction to the bill revealed some fears that archaeological research would be greatly restricted or even brought to a halt in Alaska if this bill passed, language changes should have relieved most of those fears. This bill does not now, nor was it ever intended to, place undue hardships on archaeologists and their research. Archaeology is a science that is important to all of us, native and non-native alike, in attempting to understand the past in our state. What the bill does do is make the unauthorized and intentional disturbance of unmarked burials illegal and recognizes the legitimate authority of Alaska Native groups in determining the disposition of the remains of their ancestors. This is nothing more than an acknowledgement of the basic human dignity that all of us expect. A respect for the dead is fundamental in most, if not all, cultures around the world. Alaska Natives deserve to have their departed ancestors treated with respect just as everyone else does. Further, this respect must be as the relevant Native group defines respect. We all have a responsibility to do away with dual standards in our society. The malicious disturbance of Native burials by looters and curiosity seekers must be stopped. Just because a prehistoric Native burial does not have a grave marker does not mean it is forgotten or uncared about. Society would not stand for a disturbance of our modern-day cemeteries and should be no less outraged when Native burials are dug up for profit or curiosity. A graphic example of a dual standard is portrayed in the most recent issue of National Geographic magazine, where an article describes the reburial of the remains of a colonist that had died in 1622. These remains were excavated in Virginia by archaeologists, studied, and then reburied in a new casket recreated in the style of the time. All too often, Native remains are excavated and then stored in museums in the name of science. If there is further refinement necessary to move this bill along, it should be done without destroying the original intent, which is to protect unmarked burials from unnecessary disturbance. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Puller. Questions for Mr. Gordon Puller? If not, thank you very much. Next in Fairbanks, is there anyone else to testify on this bill, House Bill 436?
This is Dick Jordan in Fairbanks. I'd just like to thank Gordon Puller for his comments.
Fine. Anybody else in Fairbanks? If not, we'll go back to Anchorage. Is there anyone else in Anchorage to testify on House Bill 436?
Yes, I'd like to testify. This is Bill Workman. I teach for the University of Alaska in Anchorage, but I'm here representing myself. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead, Mr. Workman.
Okay, well, a number of us worked together for several months now on this legislation. We were trying to achieve compromise legislation that recognized several kinds of legitimate interest in the physical remains of deceased Alaskans, and it was fair to all parties, the living and the dead. I am therefore greatly disappointed at the complete disappearance in the current manifestation of the Act of all mechanisms to fairly decide the disposition of skeletal remains that are many hundreds or even thousands of years old. I add here that the point at issue is not the historic remains of the last several hundred years or even the late prehistoric period, where I think there's general agreement that the wishes and feelings of immediate descendants must be respected, that the it takes superiority over other considerations. The section C on the top of page 7 of item 410, as I understand it, now gives or proposes to give complete control over the disposition of all remains, regardless of age, to essentially the Native groups that reside in the vicinity today, barring other claimants, without any need to demonstrate a reasonably close cultural or biological relationship, with no consideration whatsoever of age. I think a predictable effect of the measure as it now stands would be to effectively stop all scientific study of important domain of human life in the prehistoric past. And I have shared with the resource committee a lengthy discussion of the various sorts of things we've learned from this sort of study. Reburial is not the issue. There are scientific reasons why we do not rejoice at reburial. However, as an accommodation and a compromise, I think most of us could live with it. But when we're talking about populations that are 1,500, 2,000, and more years old, the question becomes much more complex, I think, than the current legislation suggests. If you extend this sort of reasoning to other parts of the world, it, for example, would interfere with the study of the entire question of human evolution, because in African context, somebody who lived tens of thousands, even billions of years ago, would be turned over basically to the local residents for disposition as they saw fit. I don't see anything really in ethical consideration, or certainly scientific ones, that justify this kind of blanket treatment. I would hope that further consideration can restore some of the original discussions that we had. We've tried to take some of these views into consideration. For a suggestion for a technical amendment, the briefest and simplest one would be to take page 7 from the middle of line 6 through line 9 and delete it. And that would get rid of the part that causes me the most trouble. However, this is not an accommodative approach. And I think perhaps further discussion and careful consideration of the wording on these complex issues is needed. I'm working on the most recent one, the one that we got today. That's a general consideration. One other specific thing that I think needs mentioning, this takes us to page 2, line 7 on the current incorporation. It's talking about the display of human remains. This changed last time at my request, an exception was put in for educational considerations. Stephanie encountered certain problems with this, and I see the answer has been totally delete educational considerations. If use of skeletal materials in a classroom situation is included under display, I don't really think the section 2 as it now stands is acceptable. There are cases and circumstances in which it is necessary to use human skeletal material for learning purposes. I suggest the addition at the end where it says in line 7 where it says law enforcement activities, and I would say or classroom educational use. This might get us away from the problem of whether things can go on display on a long-term basis in a museum. But there are, I think, good reasons why sometimes we must use this material. We have to carry on a tradition of people who can tell the difference between human remains and bears, for example, to advise the troopers when they ask us. There are more serious reasons why this is necessary, too. And that's what I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Workman. Questions for Mr. Workman? Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Representative Davidson, and my staff person, Stephanie Love, did, in fact, Mr. Workman, bring the consideration of the educational display. On further reflection, I felt that it was not really necessary to do that, and I know you may disagree with that, but perhaps there are some areas or some language that we can continue to work with you, but the intent here is to simply not display human remains and to have some sense of courtesy and appreciation for those ancestral remains. So I'm the one who preferred not to include educational display, but if there is further discussion, I would ask that you get in touch with my staff person, Stephanie, and maybe we can still work something out.
Do you want to give them your telephone number so that they know?
He's been working with my staff person. I'm sure he has.
Thank you. A representative call.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Workman, I think the issue that you raise is an interesting one, and I need to try to find a way to think about it properly. I guess my belief is that where a group of people, family, tribe, or community, what have you, feels that specific human remains have associations to them and wishes to treat them essentially as a dead person and show respect, that's one kind of issue. And then another issue is the need for us as people to learn the things we need to learn, and sometimes that does involve making use of human remains. I think one of the issues that probably is important here is who makes the decision as to whether a particular finding should be left in one place or moved to another place or what have you. And again, the chairman is urging us to be quick here, so maybe you could just tell me briefly, on a case-by-case basis, who do you think should decide whether or not particular human remains should be used for, you know, display or other purposes, or whether they should be treated as, you know, as a dead body worthy of the sort of respect that we provide to the dead?
Yes, if you're still hearing me, the original intent of the committee, which is defined towards the end of the legislation, was to consider matters of this kind where agreement couldn't be reached by the parties involved. It has lost this function and now sort of dangles there with a very minimal function, but it would be a quite appropriate body to consider this. I'd like to add one other thing about the issue of respect. It is not the case, at least in my opinion, that scientific study is inherently disrespectful, or even that lodging in a laboratory situation is disrespectful of the remains of the dead. This is not the way that I have approached this issue over 25 years now. I'm fully aware of the significance of the physical remains of a human who once walked this earth. I don't know what people frankly think we do, what weird orgies of disrespectful behavior in the lab, but what we are trying to do is to learn from the dead.
No, I understand that.
I can't communicate with them, but I am not sure that they would object to this if it is approached in the proper spirit.
I understand that, sir, and I think the question in my mind was basically the first thing you answered, who should decide, and I guess what you're saying is that this committee or some committee where there is not an objection from particular descendants should, in your view, have the power to say, well, in this particular case, these remains may be treated in a different way. And I understand your point here, and we'll certainly consider it, and I thank you.
Thank you very much. Other questions for Mr. Bill Workman? If not, is there anyone else in Fairbanks who desires to testify on either of the two bills, 436 or 416? Fine. Is there anyone in any other site than Anchorage who has not been heard on either bill? Otherwise, we will go back to Anchorage.
Yes, my name is David Gessner. I teach at UAA. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're located in Anchorage. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Please go ahead, Mr. Gessner.
I'm the last representative of the Committee on Public Archaeology for the Society of American Archaeology, a national body, and I'm currently serving as the chair of a committee of the Alaska Anthropological Association, which represents the professional anthropologists of this state, in issuing an opinion of the association on House Bill 436. We're currently still considering that, so I speak for myself at this point and not for the association as a whole, but I think it would be fair to say that the association certainly does want to achieve some kind of a compromise on this legislation and is troubled by a few of the remaining provisions in the bill, many of the things that Dr. Workman just spoke about, one of which is certainly the fact there's no timeline in terms of considering human remains that are 10,000 years old and for which we might only be able to say are vaguely perhaps Asian-related peoples, but might not be able to link perhaps to any currently existing Alaska Native groups would still perhaps fall under the provisions of this bill. And secondly, beyond the business of the timeline, the fact that there is no specific provision for scientific study, something I think that is present in most of the other bills that exist in other states, but doesn't seem to be present in this particular bill. In terms of the specifics of where some of the problems that I see are located in the bill, I would turn first to the definitions on page 5, in which we see, for example, in the definition of native, as any person who was an ancestor of the aboriginal races inhabiting the state. I think that's where the problem lies in the first place in terms of how far back can we define an ancestor of those who are currently living in the state. I also have a problem with the definition of human remains as including all parts of a dead body, not in terms of the problem that was raised before about the parts shed during life, but in terms of individual human bones that are not necessarily connected to what we would normally consider to be a burial, because in many cases we have numbers of individual bones which are scattered throughout archaeological sites, not because of the workings of archaeologists, but because of the excavation of human remains by later prehistoric or historic peoples who disturbed the remains of earlier peoples, for example, and scattered bones throughout sites and so on. Now, I think where that might come to become a problem is in such things as the cataloging of all these individual remains and also the notification of the discovery of the remains. I'm still not completely clear. For example, when we look at the provisions on the following page, on page 6, about the whole process of notification, it says a person who discovers funerary objects shall properly report the discovery to the department. I'm not sure what properly means. Does this mean that in the course of an excavation, if there are numerous skeletal remains found that directly after each one is encountered, reported as properly at the conclusion of the excavation? Does this mean every time a toe bone of a person is recovered that the excavation stops and that reporting has to be done and a separate notification is then pulled out for to the possible descendants for each one of those bones from the site and that sort of thing? I think that's a potential problem in that particular area. And then following that, I think that there are problems with the whole question of providing for access. This is on page 7, lines 11 through 13. It says, at the request of a descendant or the governing body or tribe notified, the department shall provide for access to the remains or funerary objects so that the descendant of the tribe may dispose of them. I'm thinking, of course, of cases in which, for example, a group of archaeologists from outside the state of Alaska, for example, has a permit from the State Department of Natural Resources to excavate here, and as a part of that project has retrieved human skeletal remains, perhaps even fragmentary remains as a part of that excavation, has brought them back to the institution as a part of the scientific study of all the materials of the site. Does that then mean that access is provided by the Department of Natural Resources to those materials located in some institution outside the state of Alaska? How exactly would that whole process of guaranteeing of access actually work? I think that's a problem in that regard. Then in section E, in lines 22 and 23 on page 7, a person may request a tribe or descendant to grant the person an opportunity to study remains. This is very vague language, it seems to me, and this is where I would see that the community of professionals in the state would like to see the strength and perhaps to specify, as it does in the case of similar bills in other states, a specific length of time at least in which scientific study can take place. A year, for example, is a minimum period of time for scientific study of materials before they have to be reinterred. So some compromise along those lines, I think, would represent some kind of a workable solution. And then finally, on page 8, on lines 9 through 11, that whole section about the composition of this committee, a physical anthropologist is included, but not an archaeologist. I would just like to suggest here the addition of an archaeologist because much of the attribution of the remains of prehistoric peoples to individual groups cannot be done solely on the basis of the study of the human skeletal remains themselves, but has to depend upon the stratigraphic context, that is the layers of the ground, for example, defining the time period in which those remains come from, and the associated artifacts are also extremely helpful in determining both the date of the materials and the particular group of people who might be represented. So I would suggest, perhaps in addition to the authority, people also suggested to be added to that committee that an archaeologist as well as a physical anthropologist be added. I think that would be a very helpful thing in that regard, and I guess I just wanted to second also what Bill Workman had to say there, and that is I think the function of this committee should be more than to decide disputes between different Native corporations, but also to be involved earlier in the process in hopes of determining what the initial disposition of the remains might be.
Thank you very much, Mr. Yether. We very much appreciate your testimony. Any questions for Mr. Yether? Fine. And if you would, if you have any additional questions or comments, I'm not sure that we got them all down. If you would call Stephanie Love in Representative Davidson's office, she'd be glad to discuss the bill with you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone online who has not testified? Fine. Thank you very much, everybody. We are about to lose the bridge, and we are going off teleconference now.
Good work.
Now, we have a number of people in Juneau here, and I'm going to go right through the list, and we will stay as long as possible. Is there anyone who has a time constraint? Representative Davis, you are excused. We will take the testimony here. We don't have the time. Ms. Otto, why don't you come on up first, and we will take Laurie Otto from the Department of Law, and we're just going to continue. If the members would disconnect their phones here, then the moderator can pick them up and use them for the next thing. Ms. Otto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm really my name's Laurie Otto. I represent the Criminal Division of the Department of Law. Part of my job is representing the Department of Public Safety, and I'm here in that capacity. I have very narrow comments about this piece of legislation. It's obvious that in the significant parts of it don't affect either the Department of Public Safety or the Department of Law. The bill does add a series of amendments to Title 12 and Section 1. They are amendments to the Coroner's statute. And
go ahead.
Okay. Section 1 adds amendments to the Coroner's statute, adds two sections. The first one requires that human remains that are found in or on land or water in the state shall be reported to the nearest law enforcement agency. We would recommend on page 1, line 12 and line 13 that the phrase in or on land or water be deleted. That if you're having a general statute, general changes to the coroner statute requiring the reporting of dead bodies, it should apply to dead bodies found anywhere in the state and not just on the land or in the water, in a house, on a boat. They should be included as well. So we would recommend that that be taken out. The next comment that we would have...
Ms. Otto, it may save a little bit of time. We are going to be dealing with this bill. I would anticipate and request that the sponsor have a new proposed CS, and you can use it as a judiciary. You are authorized to do a judiciary CS and have it back at our next meeting. These technical things, if you can just deal with them with the staff, we don't need to take our time. Now, that'll save you a little time, too.
Yes. Okay. I guess I have some, then, more general comments.
Before you do, Representative Davis has a question for you.
I'll wait for my general comments.
Go right ahead.
Okay, the next would be on page 1, line 28 to 29. It makes failure to report a dead body a Class A misdemeanor. I understand that the reporting of human remains is essential to the scheme. If you don't require people to report, the whole scheme falls apart. We do question whether or not a Class A misdemeanor is too heavy a penalty. If you're going to have it be a crime, we recommend a Class B misdemeanor, although you may be able to accomplish the result that you want by making it be something that subjects a person to a fine.
Maybe you could just discuss that with the sponsor, too.
Okay. It really started as a policy call, and I guess it applies to the second section as well on unlawful acts. We don't know that a Class A misdemeanor is really the necessary penalty, and the people that you're really targeting, which is professional archaeologists and other people who are involved in disturbing native remains, probably can be deterred by a fine. And we don't need to further clog up our jail system with these people. And then going to the specific unlawful acts, since it is set up as a crime right now, I would, I guess, concur with some of the comments that other people made relating to the application of this criminal statute to biology classes, where you're not talking about native human remains, because if they're native human remains, then they kick into the Title 41 sections, but people who are using skeletons in biology classes, people who are using cadavers in anatomy classes for dissections, people who are teaching archaeology, all of them would be committing a crime under this statute if they were using bodies in their classroom. And so it's sort of a conceptual thing, but there really is a problem that needs to be worked out.
And then I'm sure it's not the sponsor's intent to deal with that. So why don't you work with the staff on
that? Okay, and that's really all I have, that there are these kind of technical things, particularly if you make it a crime, that really need to be worked out.
Yeah, I don't want to put any words in the sponsor's mouth on that. But any questions by Representative Davis, and then, of course, any other member. Please.
Well, I guess, Mr. Chairman, this is a sort of timely bill, given the some of the publicity on about some of the diggings that are going on around the state. And the question I had earlier, Ms. Otto, was if this applied only to state and federal land, which I think it does. But I guess the question I have again is digging a grave on native land, for example, is that digging up someone's a grave with human remains, is that still against state law, or is that, if it's on private property, it doesn't apply?
Ms. Otto?
Mr. Chairman, I understand this bill to say that any place in the state where you encounter human remains, whether it be on private land, state land, or federal land, you need to report it to the Department of Public Safety or the nearest law enforcement agency. If it's historic or prehistoric human remains, they need to then pass it on to the Department of Natural Resources, and all the protections in Title 41 that are being added in this bill kick in. So it's not limited to particular types of ownership. It applies to all property in the state and all human remains discovered in the state.
Well,
yes.
Just a question, perhaps, Lori. What happens where you have, unfortunately, major industries taking place, like on St. Lawrence Island, where people are digging up old village sites which they've got to be encountering grave sites when they, you know, are doing that, and so that some of those activities could then be against the law. It's okay to go on these digs because they're digging up their own things, right?
May I make a request? We have about eight more minutes. We'll have Ms. Otto back, and she's here in the across the street. We have another with people.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for that. It's been a concern of mine. Maybe we can talk more about that after.
Absolutely, and we would like you to come back, please, for our next hearing on this bill.
Thank you, and I'd like to also thank Representative Davidson's staff, Stephanie Love, who's been extremely helpful in working with me. This is a new work draft, and it does deal with some other problems that we'd identified, and we'll continue to work with her. It's been a pleasure.
The whole committee thanks Ms. Love for the work.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, let us continue down. The next person I have is Mr. Tim Wilson, and we very much appreciate everybody's courtesy. I'm going to stick around as long as anybody has anything to say.
Thank you. I'll just be very brief because I think some of the comments have been very good, and you've covered a lot of ground here today. My name is Tim Wilson. I'm the Director of Development for Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation, which is a nonprofit affiliate of Sea Alaska Corporation, although we're legally incorporated as a separate organization. I'm here to testify only on behalf of Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation. We welcome this bill and the provisions it provides with regards to Native human remains. We really embrace the opportunity for Native organizations and the Native community to be able to get involved in this process. And I'd like to put to rest or to be able to address some of the current concerns of the museum community and the anthropologists and the scientific community, because I think the Native community has as much to learn from the study and from the care of these artifacts and remains as the scientific community does. And so I look forward to working with institutions around the state and to provide for those opportunities where it's necessary, where it's important to study those artifacts and remains, and to be able to reinter those where it's appropriate. I'd also like to echo some of the remarks that Roxana said from Totem Heritage or from the Museum Association, and that is that in some cases people assume that there's an adversarial relationship, and I'm not sure this is the case. I don't believe, to counter some of the arguments that the archaeologist was just saying, that I don't believe that tribes are asserting claims to prehistoric artifacts or remains. We're concerned about tribal artifacts and tribal remains, and those are clearly, we're not concerned about Cro-Magnon man. We're concerned about our own tribal artifacts and remains. So I don't believe that you'll find situations where we're asserting ownership and claims to prehistoric artifacts or remains. I know that you have a lot of people here that want to testify, so...
Take your time. I want you to say everything you want.
No, I think that covers most of it. I know that there's a few technical provisions that need to be worked out, but I have confidence in the community process and your ability to work those kinks out.
Well, we will, and please talk to Ms. Love and Representative Davidson and Representative Gall. They're going to be working on this bill, and we'll have it back next week. Representative Davis.
Tim, let me see if I understand. You said that you're interested in, not interested in prehistoric remains, that your focus, the Heritage Foundation is focused on recent history.
Right, those remains and artifacts, which are clearly tribal artifacts. And, you know, perhaps an anthropologist, maybe Mr. Dr. Olson can explain this better than I, but in some cases there's going to be a gray area whether or not it's a prehistoric artifact or not. But in most cases, I don't believe that's true, and I think that we should be reasonable. It would be a reasonable process to go through to work with the tribes, all the different organizations around the state, native and non-native, to be able to determine the history of the material, whether it's prehistoric or tribal.
Thank you very
Thank
much,
you.
Mr. Wilson. The next person we have is Bruce Cato.
Mr. Chairman, Bruce Cato, representing the Department of Education with the Alaska State Museum. Again, I think that everyone had an opportunity to hear a lot of testimony. A couple of points that I wanted to bring up that are just essentially mentioned in the recommendation of the committee substitute has to do with language dealing with all human remains as opposed to native human remains, whether or not, again, I would like to support that and see what sort of problems that might create if that language is changed. Also in section 8, it states here as far as it makes it unlawful to sell funerary objects for which there is direct circumstantial evidence, and which I assume would probably be included in page 2, line 2, unlawful acts. A person may not sell, buy, or barter human remains. Again, it looks like there is something that you're talking about as far as human remains and the unlawful acts of possession and bartering goes, whether or not you're talking, again, by including this substitute of funerary objects also. It's something that I see here is that if there are, again, representing the Alaska State Museum, there are probably about 15 skeletal remains that we can identify at this point and possibly about 200 others that would be classified as funerary objects. As far as the disposition on legal claims for those material, how that would be handled once transferred over, again, looking to see whether or not this new section has added in substitute, whether or not there would be some either regulations attached to this that would sort of see actually what the disposition is. Anyway, those are the only comments. And then again, I think the bill looks real good, supporting, again, I think the major issue of dealing with skeletal remains.
Thank you, Mr. Cotto. Are there questions for either Mr. Wilson, who I didn't ask if they had questions for before, or Mr. Cotto? I guess I did ask for Mr. Wilson. Did you have a question for Mr. Cotto?
Well, not a question so much as a comment. I think that he brings up a good point. If I think many Native people are interested in getting like remains back from Smithsonian, but if they all arrived at once, there could be a real problem trying to get those back interred again. So it's sort of a good point to bring up is what happens. People are going to have the financial resources to deal with those when they get back.
Well, again, looking at I think a recent newspaper article in the Anchorage paper the other night dealing with so-called pot hunters. Again, looking at some of the material as far as grave or funerary objects, again, looking at the museums and what currently is being held is very, again, could possibly be identified as funerary objects. Once, again, there are claims to that material is relinquished. What, essentially, do we see that possibly coming up in Sotheby's catalogs or on the auction market? Again, I don't see any provisions there to go ahead and actually tie in some of those loopholes in that area.
Representative Davis,
good point.
Thank you very much. Okay, next we have some people who signed up to testify on 416. I'm going to wait and finish with 436 and then we'll do 416.
Next, we have Marvin Adams.